Good morning, passengers. This is Captain Bot 6000. For me, mid-90s internet is like watching vintage porn. Have a nice flight.
Welcome to Piloting the Pilots, the podcast. My name is Aaron. With me, as always, is my scarred up husband, Cameron. How are you doing today, honey?
Scartastic. I'm so thrilled to be back here. Sorry we've been gone for a couple weeks after my surgery. There's no way after the surgery. Like the 2 days after, I was asleep, guys. Yeah. And then last weekend, you asked me, am I up for a podcast? And I didn't think it would be very good.
Right.
You know, I wasn't quite right. I think I was still even on painkillers at that point. I'm no longer on painkillers, but, I'm dealing with it.
Yeah. He's not an action hero who can just, like, climb up skyscrapers.
It's a little different.
in reality.
What were we just watching where someone was like...
Fallout.
Oh, right, Fallout. Yeah,
she gets, massively stabbed, and she's like, ooh, well, I'll just hop over here now.
Yeah, and then she takes a staple gun and, sews herself up.
She's like, I'm fine.
And, meanwhile, I'm like, oh, no, lady.
Oh, no, I can barely make it to the bathroom.
Oh, no, lady. Well, I'm just sitting here for 2 weeks. I'm, just now able to do a little more.
We can go with video game magic and be like, oh, she's on stems.
She isn't, though.
But she isn't.
Not at that point, because stems haven't really been introduced into the show, or they would have said it. Yeah. Because they want to, bring in the video game stuff.
Well, she uses a, what are those thingies called? A healing thing.
A healing thing?
A healing thing.
Right,
a healing thing. I forget what they're called.
Hey, we watched the first couple of episodes of Fallout, everyone.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. I got to see my junk gun, which made me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you've got a super sexy ghoul. That made me happy.
I think my only complaint about Fallout so far, the TV show, I have never played Fallout. Aaron's a big fan of the game. So I am probably annoying watching it because I'm always like, what's that? Is that something in the game?
Right. Well,
I mean, I'm glad you're there to help me field some of these questions. Yeah. My only problem, especially in the first episode, it was a little long.
Right.
It was an hour and 15 minutes long, and they had the Return of the King syndrome on it, where they would have a scene, and it felt like that's the end of the episode, cut to black, and then it would come back.
Yeah.
And it was like, uh-oh, okay. And then it would go for 5 or 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
And then it would go to black. And you're like, okay, that was the end. Oh, okay, we're still going. Okay. And I think that could have been tightened up a little bit. But overall, I like the whole vibe of the show. I mean, the post-apocalyptic.
I wish it was a video game and not a TV show.
Yeah.
But it's really funny because I like who they cast as our lead gal.
She looks like a video game
avatar. Because she looks like a character I would have made in the game, which is hilarious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Have we watched anything else in the interim? I feel like we have, but... We're watching Bad Batch, obviously.
Next week in 3 days, guys, Skinwalker Ranch, season 5.
So you'll be hearing us talk about all your favorites. Dragon, Dr. Travis Taylor, Thomas Winterton.
Aliens, lights. Lots of lights. Weird science.
I don't know that I said this on the podcast, but I tried so hard to get Aaron an autographed picture of Dr. Travis Taylor for Christmas. Yeah. And the only autograph, if anyone has any... poll with the people at Skinwalker Ranch, get some headshots out there, because the only thing I could get was a Skinwalker Ranch t-shirt,
and I don't like that.
And I was like, and I thought about it, I was like, well, we could frame it, put it like one of those t-shirt things. It had Travis, Dragon, and Thomas Winterton's autographs on it. This is a 3-for-1, but it was on a t-shirt, and I was like,
I don't want it on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I wanted a headshot.
Or a signed copy of his book.
Or a signed copy of one of his many books.
Yeah.
It could be one of the sci-fi ones. It could be one of the not sci-fi ones.
Doesn't matter. I've never read any of his books, by the way.
I don't think you want to.
It's good living in ignorance.
Live in ignorance. That's my new philosophy with pretty much everything.
Yeah.
It's the problem with social media. I know too much about people.
Yep.
I don't want to know anything about your life.
Yep.
I just want to appreciate whatever art you're putting out there. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. If I like you, I don't want to know about your art, because then your art might reveal something about you that I don't like.
Exactly.
So you get one or the other. I can either appreciate your art or I can appreciate you as a person. Never the twain shall meet.
I agree.
So this was a great show to come back to.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, so we're doing Baywatch Take 2. This is Baywatch Nights season two, the start of all their paranormal stuff. And it's hilarious because it starts with a complete font change.
Oh, it's super. It goes right into like vampire font.
Oh, my God. Vampire font. And then the smoke everywhere. And then like random stuffed coyotes.
Yeah. Like, it's so. What was weird about this right off the bat, before I give you like even when this was released and everything. Mm-hmm. Is like one thing I thought was wild about this show is it had no respect for season one.
None.
It was like it never happened. There's never not a happened. Line about like, hey, what happened to your private investigation business? Where's Garner?
Where's Garner?
Like, it's like it just never happened. Yeah. I think that's like, it's pretty ballsy to go from a season one to season two to do such a radical reimagining of your show.
It was great.
But it's so funny that they didn't even give you a little bit of like, since the private investigation business went down, you know, nothing. They give you nothing.
Nothing.
Now this show, well, as we said, this is like a new pilot.
Yeah.
Basically. This came out September 29th, 1996. Mm-hmm. The number one movie was The First Wives Club.
Love it.
And the number,
except when they all get back to with their husbands at the end. Come on!
Husbands suck.
That wasn't the point of this.
Yeah. Yeah. They get back at their husbands?
Yeah.
At the end?
And even the ones that cheat on them.
Ew.
God, it's like, you're pathetic. Move on.
Move on.
If somebody cheats on you, you move the fuck on.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
Because that is so fucking disrespectful.
I can't imagine doing that.
Mm.
I've. Not to brag. But I've never cheated on anyone.
Excellent.
Because, like, even when I was in, like, relationships, obviously before you. But, like, if I was in a relationship.
Before me?
Yeah.
Before me?
I would break up with a person once I had that feeling of, like, I want to.
My eyes are roaming.
My eyes are roaming. Right. I think, like, I kind of, like, or I'm interested in this. Like, I've talked to this person. They seem pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I shouldn't be feeling like that if I'm dating you.
Exactly.
So I would always break up with the person at that point. Because it's like, okay, there's something missing here.
Exactly.
So
let's not waste our time.
So the idea of ever, like, someone cheating on me or whatever, and then, like, getting back with them?
Ugh. There's no trust there. None. Yeah. You cannot possibly trust that person ever again. So why even bother?
Why
even fucking bother?
They didn't respect you.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They broke your trust. They betrayed you.
Yeah. So fuck the First Wives Club.
So fuck the First Wives Club.
And then the number one
that movie.
The number one song was a little song called Macarena by Bayside Boys Mix by Los Del Rio.
Ah.
So that was what was in the zeitgeist.
Nice.
Oh,
I was thinking of Mambo Number 5.
I'm trying to
confuse the Macarena with the Mambo Number 5 all the time.
Easy to do.
They're interchangeable.
What I'm trying to do right now, guys, is I'm trying to make like a new playlist for us because like we have a lot of music and I like having a lot of music because you always kind of find like deep cuts that are like really good.
Yeah.
Like you never knew about. But also the problem with just like having like all of your
when
music.
When you have thousands of songs.
Like, the good ones never come up.
The good ones never come up.
So, and you're, like, we'll be in the car, and I'm like, skip. So I'm trying to, like, make a playlist that says, like, songs that I feel like our kids should be aware of.
Yeah.
Songs that are good. Songs that, like, minimize the skippage.
Yes.
You know, while you're driving. So you can pretty much just get in the car and listen. So anyway,
However, you need to make it random enough to where it sounds like the radio that hasn't been paid for by corporate radio.
Yeah, and like you know so you're saying? And you're bouncing between
old school radio.
Yeah, and you're bouncing between genres and decades.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Yeah.
And like so, I'm going through all our music, and like Mambo Number 5 came up.
Oh God.
And I was like, do I put that on? And I was like, no, we're gonna skip it every time.
Every time.
Because like on the one hand, I'm like. Maybe the kids should hear that song. But then that might have been the song I was telling you about where I was like, that doesn't sound appropriate to me.
Yeah, because of all of his girls that he
has. Yeah, like, I've become like a kind of dad in that sense. Like, I don't care if they're singing about sex or whatever, but like the idea that he was singing about like dating a whole bunch of different women, I'm like, that doesn't seem respectful. I don't like that, Lou Bega.
Exactly. We're trying to raise our boys right.
Exactly. Yeah. They'd be respectful. This show starred David Hasselhoff. He produced it. His stink is all over this.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we can get into the actual meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah, we're getting into meat and potatoes?
Yeah, we're getting
into it. All right, let's do this.
Dig in.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah, so we start off with new scary fonts.
Yeah.
With him looking like very angel in the mist. It's like a blue light.
He wearing a trench coat?
Yes, he's 100%.
Yeah. I think it would be cooler if he had his like lifeguard floatier thingy. What are those things called? Cans.
Cans, yeah. It's like, wow, good way to pull that definition out.
Boom.
So Gon is, who's Lou Rawls? Was he the blues man?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, no blues man.
Yeah, they went from noir detective, or at least trying to.
Yeah.
To weird ass Buffy Angel.
Yeah, X-Files.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because like when the headshots come up now, like there's like
candelabras.
There's candelabras, there's coyote heads, and like when it has like Angie Harmon, the only other person besides David Hasselhoff who made the leap.
Yeah.
She like in season one, she was like, I think she was like holding up like Bunsen's and like like doing like lab work and like she at one point holds up handcuffs because we're gonna have sexy times.
Right.
And this one, she's like cowering in the corner with like some unseen
as
force.
Like a werewolf is like stalking her.
I cannot stress to you how much of a change this is.
This was wild, and I am so glad we did a take two.
I am so glad.
I am so glad.
Like, you and I were watching this, and we were like, this is so much better than season
one. Oh, God. It was hilariously bad. It's worth your time to watch how stupid this is.
It's awful.
It's amazing.
But also the best.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'm curious, and I don't have any research on this, unfortunately, but was there any warning that the show was taking this dramatic of a turn? Because, like, I guess maybe the ratings were so bad on the first season, they were like, no one's going to complain.
No one's really into noir detectives these days.
But it almost feels like they should have changed the name of the show completely then.
Well, no, because Baywatch Nights still makes absolute sense.
Does it when it still opens up during the day?
Yeah, when it still takes place during the day in broad fucking daylight. Yeah.
It wouldn't be Baywatch Nights if it didn't take place during the day.
That's what I'm
That's
saying.
That's for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it starts off with him on a boat with Donna Deer. No, it wasn't. No. She comes in later. Another random Baywatch babe we've never seen before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're just cruising around, and it feels very much like a Baywatch episode.
Yeah, it really does. I appreciated it.
I think that helped it, too, as a bridge from Baywatch to Baywatch Nights.
Yeah.
It's like this.
Mitch was more of a lifeguard now.
He was actually doing the as a lifeguard, and this was like the stuff he was kind of getting involved with.
Yeah.
It was very much like Night Boat on The Simpsons. Like, it was like, how can we have his lifeguard activities mix with the paranormal? And again, wait, hold on. Not one scene takes place at night.
Not one. The
whole thing takes place during the day.
And Angie Harmon keeps looking over the side of the boat at what? I have no idea, because there's no way she can look inside another sank ship.
It's like the Pacific Ocean in like a kelp forest.
She keeps looking over the side of the boat, and I'm like, you can't see anything, lady. What are you doing?
You're not in the Caribbean. This isn't like crystal blue water.
They're inside another ship under the water on the ocean floor.
She's using her
X-ray
vision.
Why do you keep looking over the side of the boat? Now go back to that same schematic. She was either looking over the side of the boat or at the schematic.
And every time, this made me laugh so hard, and I wanted to say something to you, but I didn't want to like distract you, and like I was kind of saving it for the podcast. Sometimes when we're watching these shows, guys, we actually have to say to each other, like, save it for the podcast. But like every time it cut back to her, she did the hair over the ear. There was like two cuts back to back. It was like she did a hair over the ear, looks at schematics, and then like turns to schematics, and then went cut back to Mitch, cut back to her, hair over the ear, back to the schematics. I was like, oh my God.
She was really pointless.
She was like the man in the chair. She was like Uhura in Star Trek.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Uhura.
No disrespect.
I'm just saying, like, back in the day, like,
kind of pointless.
She didn't really have a job. It's kind of like Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, where her job was just to repeat
the
computer.
That was kind of what Angie Harmon was doing there. She wasn't, like, involved in the action, but they needed her to, like,
just be there.
To be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, starts off with some real Baywatch action. We get slow-mo jumping into the water with the cans.
Excellent.
We get CPR.
Yeah.
There is no mention of PI work.
None.
Garner is gone.
Gone.
Was he gone from Baywatch at that point too? Or?
I don't know. I don't know the timelines. Remember, I stopped watching Baywatch like 25 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. There's a big gap here.
I want to know why Garner couldn't make the leap to the new improved version. Like, why is new improved?
Well, that's what I said. Is he sexy enough? Because you're bringing on Donna D'Arco,
who is from Baywatch.
Yeah, you're bringing on
Eddie Cibrian?
Cibrian-y?
I thought he was from regular Baywatch, but I looked it up. He's not.
No, he's not.
I've heard that name before, so I don't know. Or I've seen it, because I obviously don't know how to pronounce it. And then...
And you got the paranormal guy.
Who apparently Donna D'Arco thinks is hot as F.
Yeah. She's really into him.
She was like, oh, he's a crazy person who drinks champagne. She's like describing how interesting he is, and she's like, he drinks champagne on the Champs-Élysées. And I'm like, okay.
He watches sunsets in Tahiti. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, this is all her, like, just describing for Mitch why this guy's so sexy. I'm like, ooh.
That's some basic shit.
That's like the most... I mean, unless he's, like, drinking champagne from the bottle and, like, also...
Skydiving into robbing... the Champs-Élysées. Yeah.
Like, robbing people or something. You don't really sound like you're describing anything neat. It's like he eats... It's like, if someone was describing, like, those, like...
He goes through Fazoli's drive-thru.
Yeah. It's, like, something everyone could do. He hikes on the trail near his house. Like, okay?
Okay.
Like, anyway... So I didn't catch that guy's name either. But like what happens is they somehow, I mean, this is like, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. They catch a woman floating in the water.
Yes. I don't even know what they were doing out there.
I think you're just lifeguarding.
Oh, they were just lifeguarding 5 miles out into the ocean?
Well, you said this many times during the show, is like, you said, this seems like a waste of Baywatch's resources.
It is.
And I agree with you.
This should only be Coast Guard.
Right, because this woman is apparently a mile out to sea.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, report. There was no, if they had been like, hey, we have someone out there, they could be anywhere, can someone go out, take a look, get it. But they were just, like, cruising. They were, like, doing a patrol.
And these lifeguards are telling the Coast Guard what to do?
Yeah. Well, the Coast Guard's worthless.
Oh, my God. The Coast Guard's worthless in this episode.
Absolutely worthless.
Oh, my God.
But they save, rescue this woman. He brings her on board. They do CPR. And then she starts, like, screaming.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, it's all right. Cut to the sun setting. Next scene, broad daylight.
And I was like, because when the sun was setting, I was like, oh, yeah, Baywatch Nights finally living up to its name. We're going to get some paranormal shit up in here, some tits, you name it. It's coming. Nope.
It's him having brunch.
He's having brunch.
It's him having literal brunch.
He's having brunch reading the paper.
And it's not like we got confused like, oh, maybe that was sunrise because like it was the day before. Like it was daylight. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sunset. And then it was daylight. That was as close as we got to Baywatch Nights. And it never, the sun never even kisses the horizon again.
No, it doesn't. Nope. Never.
I love it.
I was like, you guys really could have gone somewhere special with this. But you didn't.
I love the show.
Oh, God, it's so good.
So bad.
So good.
So, and what was funny about when Donna D'Arco was like, had the hots for the paranormal guy. Yeah. And, like, I want to stress to you guys, this guy is not introduced. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Garner...
Yeah, that's why we don't have his name, because he wasn't introduced. Because,
like, Garner, if you'd watched season one of Baywatch Nights, you knew Garner from Baywatch.
Yeah.
And you knew Mitch from Baywatch. Yeah. So they don't need to be introduced, because you're not just watching Baywatch Nights without watching Baywatch. And then Angie Harmon, Ryan, her character's name's Ryan... She is introduced in that first episode where he's like, oh, it's his detective friend from back east. And she's come out and they're doing a private investigation. That's all you need.
Yeah.
This guy, Mitch is having his...
Donna D'Arco is just crushing hard on him. And then they have a conversation about paranormal stuff.
He just like walks over. Well,
done.
Donna D'Arco like talks to him and he's like, I brought you this book.
On soul reincarnation.
And she's like, how did you know? That's exactly what I wanted. And then they...
And that was the acting. You did great.
Thank you. Thank you.
She's not known for her acting chops.
That's fine. but then they hold the most awkward, silent gaze at one another.
Yeah.
It went for way too long, yeah. But it wasn't
and
like...
And I was like, wait a second, this is the guy that she's really into?
There wasn't like a smolder there, though.
No, it was intimidating. Awkward.
It was awkward.
It was like, weird.
It felt like they didn't cut at the right time.
Yeah, it felt like both actors did not like each other, really.
Right. Yeah. No.
So it was like, can we be done?
Can we be done with
this? Is the scene over now?
Like, I don't want to do this. And then,
do we just look at each other? I'm bored.
And then Donna D'Arco just f***s off and we never see her again.
No,
she is in the credits.
Yeah, she is in the credits.
Because you know who else isn't in here? Destiny or whatever, the psychic.
Oh, the psychic girl.
Wouldn't she have been perfect
for
this?
She would actually fit for this.
She would fit for the theme of the show. You wouldn't even have to have introduced that new the paranormal guy.
No.
She could just...
She could do it.
She could do it.
She could do it.
Yeah. And like, that guy isn't really in the show either. He just shows up for brunch.
Yeah, he shows up for brunch.
And he knows so much about what happened in this rescue.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I don't know how either. And he knows that it's the New Guinean Bigfoot.
Yeah. Like, okay. So the good thing to know about this show is nothing ever makes sense.
No.
And it's very...
The science is very sus.
It's very sus.
It's very sus.
And
they don't even show you how they escape the sunken ship.
Well, yeah.
That is what really pisses me off. They shoot up some holes and flood the compartment, and next scene, they're fine.
Yeah, they never explain what he's doing.
Yeah, they never explain what he's doing. He's just like, we'll ride the canvas. Ride it where? You're in a sunken ship.
We're jumping a bit ahead there.
What are you doing?
But he's having brunch with this guy we have not been introduced to.
Right,
adequately.
Let's move on from this dude. We've been talking about him for like 15 minutes.
I'm trying to get to the part where this is... He knows that this woman was screaming a Jogan.
Right.
Which is apparently the Papua New Guinea Bigfoot.
Right.
And he describes it as the most dangerous people on the planet. Take that, PNG. And the most dangerous monster.
Not racist at all.
No, it doesn't feel racist. No, that feels totally cool. and then Mitch at one point, he's like, oh, what'd she say? Jogan. Blah, 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 blah. And then like Mitch literally says what we were thinking, where he's like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, because like he talks about it for a good minute. And I was watching it being like, I don't understand what's going on here. And then Mitch literally says, where are you going with this? Because I was like, yeah, because this doesn't make sense. You just come out of nowhere and been like, hey, it must have been Bigfoot who sank their ship.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. What are we talking about? Like, basically, there was a ship that came from PNG.
Yeah.
And it went down off the coast.
Right.
And the Coast Guard did a very cursory look.
They sent some divers, and their divers didn't come back.
Didn't come back.
And so the Coast Guard didn't bother following up on that.
No follow through.
No
at
follow through.
All
and then they were like, well, I guess we lost some divers.
I guess Billy the diver's dead now.
I guess.
But, you know, Baywatch is starting soon, so I think we should go in. And so Eddie Cibrian.
We don't know his name.
I don't know his name. I think the actor's name is Eddie something. He is tying the laces on a woman's
rollerblades
as Mitch is eating. It's so weird.
It's so weird.
And it's not like his girlfriend. He's just like...
No, he's just like...
Tying her laces.
Groping her.
Yeah.
As he ties her laces.
Like...
And she's like, hee-hee, yeah, that's my ass.
Talk about infantilizing someone.
Oh, my God.
And Mitch is like, yo, Eddie. And he's like, yeah? He's like, want to go for a dive? And he's like, you know it. And then, like, the guy's like, so you believe me in this, like, Papua New Guinea Bigfoot? And he's like, no, but if this woman's alive, maybe there's more survivors.
Right.
Maybe there's an air pocket in the ship. And if we all know the Coast Guard does not do their work.
Yeah.
So...
We're going to have to do a follow-up.
We're going to do the Baywatch follow-up. Again, kind of a waste of resources.
That's what I said. It's a waste of resources.
They really need to call that in.
Yes. Absolutely. 100%.
Like, I mean, if you say, like, I found this woman. She was definitely from this ship. And she survived. Hey, Coast Guard, maybe you should go take a
second
glance.
But you know what's
glance.
Crazy about that? She doesn't even mention she has kids until the end of the episode when they're like, yeah, motherly love. She told us to go get those kids.
She never
she didn't. She never mentioned her kids at all.
She had one scene where she freaked out.
Yeah.
And, like, they were like, And when the paranormal guy, comes up to him, he's like, she was saying a Jogun, and I was like, was she? I thought she was just screaming.
She was screaming too.
I didn't hear her say anything.
And again, there was a lot of mumbling going on in this episode. Half of what they were saying, I couldn't understand.
Well, yeah, and that's the curse of doing these things on YouTube. We didn't have closed captioning. You can turn up the volume, but it just makes the mumbles louder. So there is a possibility we may have missed some things just due to...
No, she did not mention her kids.
But, well, she definitely didn't mention... Because she's she's not a character in the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, now we're getting into, like, what the show is they go... They know where the shipwreck is.
Yeah. Everybody seems to know where the shipwreck
Everybody knows where the shipwreck is.
They know where they lost a bunch of divers.
They know where they lost a bunch of divers.
Rescue divers. They were like, yeah, no point in sending more rescue divers
and
after them.
It's not so deep that you can't dive there.
Yeah, it's pretty fine.
They're not even worried about decompression sickness for anybody.
Yeah, so it's got to be like, 30 feet maybe?
Maybe. I think 30 feet would have been too deep. Maybe she can see them from...
Maybe she can see them from...
But the Coast Guard didn't bother to go down and look for their divers.
Not even. Nope. Didn't bother. It was like, I guess they're lost to sea. Too bad.
I never liked him anyway. Too bad. So sad. And this is like the part where...
And I loved how those rescue divers, I don't know if you noticed his suit, though. It was the old-timey suit.
A bellows.
Yeah, it was the bolts on the headpiece.
like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah, like a Scooby-Doo villain. Oh, my God. Wow. There's a lot episode.
Because Eddie and Mitch are, like, in the ugliest swimsuits ever. And, like, I know that's, like, Cam, why do you care? I'm like, there are more attractive swimsuits they could have. They were, like, beige or something like that. Okay. Like, I don't know. Like,
I didn't notice. I was too busy staring at their naked torsos.
Your naked torsos. Just dudes hanging out with their naked torsos.
Dudes hanging out being dudes.
But they get to the ship. They're like, Angie Herman, you have two places to be. At the edge of the boat.
And looking at schematics.
And looking at schematics. And she's like, got it. This is my job.
And to constantly be going, Mitch! Mitch! Can somebody read me? What's going on? Mitch!
And then when she does...
Because she can hear the Bigfoot thing screaming.
Yes.
Over their walkies.
But like, sometimes
they're scuba walkies.
He has to press a button for her to hear him. But like, she can also hear what...
Yeah, she can also see the glow lights.
They have like
glow sticks.
There's
like a kelp forest growing inside the sunken ship.
The thing is, this monster that we never... A Jogun sits up like a hydroponics garden inside of the thing. But like, she's... Like, that's her job, is to contact them. Yeah. She's the man in the chair, the woman in the chair. She's got like the nascent internet. Yeah. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah,
back
it
then.
Actually said World Wide Web on it.
I'm accessing the World Wide Web, Mitch.
Accessing internet.
She calls him and she's like, that's her job, is to like make sure they're safe and to let them know where to go.
Yeah.
She's like Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park.
Just follow the bunch of cables on the top.
And she's like, Mitch, do you read me? And he's like, I thought I told you never to call me here. I'm like, what are we doing,
Mitch? I was like, that doesn't pertain to this situation. That's not even funny.
And like, it's not funny. We're in an actual life, and this is a dangerous situation. We're looking for...
Rescue divers have died and not come back.
Like, it doesn't even make sense with what she's saying.
No.
And then, like, everything he said to her was always a quip.
Always.
That was the only one I wrote down. But, like, and it was like, let's...
And then that Eddie dude is talking about sipping Mai Tais or something?
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't even know.
What are you talking about?
I don't even know why Eddie was there. He was really a liability.
He was just there to be pulled back underwater by the Ajokan.
Well, here's the problem with the show. Because now we're in the middle of the show. Most of the show is what's called a closed circle trope.
Yeah.
Which is like Evil Dead or Cube or any of those. Or Night of the Living Dead, when you're trapped in a single location.
Yes.
In a horror movie. That's what they're doing with this show. My problem with the way it's done, and before I say that, I just heard myself call this a problem. This is a perfect show. Okay? I'm just saying, I think what could have been improved upon it, however, I know why they didn't, is we needed more cannon fodder.
Yeah.
People needed to die.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It's Baywatch, so nobody dies.
And that was literally wrote that in my notes.
Mitch saves everybody.
I said Baywatch ain't about killing NPCs.
No, that's right. Mitch saves everybody.
It's a At its core, Baywatch mm-hmm. is about slow motion boobies.
Yes.
And saving people's lives.
That's right.
So Mitch cannot fail ever.
Ever.
In saving someone's life or mm-hmm. else the show doesn't make sense. But for like a horror movie like this, mm-hmm. when you're in kind of like the Nostromo or whatever, right. and you can't get anywhere and you have a monster out to kill you, you need other characters mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that are getting picked off one by one.
Yeah.
And I think the middle part of the show, the 90% of yeah. the middle, kind of dragged in some places.
It did, because nothing was happening. Nobody was getting harmed.
There's no tension.
There was nothing.
Because like Eddie got hurt, but that was it. Even if you didn't kill people, I think you needed more divers there.
Yeah.
That maybe the creature
they got lost or, you know, trapped like, or something.
Yeah, you know.
And then you get them out at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know how like an alien, like sometimes the alien kills you and sometimes it captures you and like yeah. cocoons you so yeah. it can like implant you?
Yeah.
Like I needed to do something like that where it was like putting them somewhere.
Yeah.
There has to be some feeling of
life and death.
Life and death. There was yeah. no kind of stakes to it because there's two people and they're both getting out of this alive.
Yeah, because they're in the title credits.
Yeah, exactly. so they swim down to this water, and you and I were like, okay, what was the timeline of the ship sinking and the divers dying and
okay,
all that
so
stuff?
The ship has been sank for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks, but within a week, the Coast Guard was sent out.
Okay, well, so that was two weeks ago.
So this would be 2 weeks later.
Okay. 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 2 weeks since the Coast Guard went out.
Yes.
So the ship sank. Coast Guard sent some divers out. The divers died.
Yeah.
And they were like, well,
and then 2 weeks later, Mitch goes out because he finds this woman floating and she's screaming.
And like, he's like,
and apparently she has mentioned her kids who are still alive.
At some point.
At some point.
And so a lot of the things
off screen.
A lot of things we have to just read between the panels.
Yeah.
Of like, what happened.
Yeah.
We don't have time for a conversation with the mom. I didn't know she had kids.
I didn't either.
I truly did not know that was something I was
no
going
idea.
At. I literally, like in the last 5 minutes of the show, two children show up and I'm like, there's kids?
There's kids, and Mitch is going to save them, of course, by, again, I don't know how he saves them.
I don't know how they survive 3 weeks on
I don't know how kelp. You burn out all the oxygen for something that breathes underwater.
Well, see, that's the thing. They get under the ship and they
because this thing is amphibious.
Because you assume, yes, it is amphibious. So I don't know how that worked. They go into the boat, and, like, they're supposedly, like, we're thinking, like, there's an air pocket, and that's how mm-hmm. people are surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of, like, an air pocket underwater, I'm thinking, like, 3 feet of air.
Right.
No.
But this was, like, a whole setup.
This was,
they had hammocks. It was nice.
It was, like, in multiple rooms you could go
yeah.
into.
Mm-hmm.
And
just walk around.
Like, plenty of room. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess there could be multiple people alive, because
yeah.
there is plenty of room in here.
Plenty of room.
That's when they start hearing noises,
mm-hmm.
and we never see the monster.
No.
Which...
we see its clawed hand,
which
and
it picked
we
up at
see
Party
some
City.
Weird black pixels.
Yeah.
Like, but we don't really see what it looks like.
You know how, like...
it's
in,
very
like,
shadowed.
You know how, like, in, like, the 90s when they didn't really want to show you something?
Well, I don't think they could afford to show us anything.
I don't think they could show us anything, but it was all blurry, like,
yeah.
in those moments. But yeah, so Eddie, Cyprian gets attacked. What I do like is like, okay. So they have some like Dollar Tree glow sticks.
Yeah.
Because I think they're supposed to look like real professional,
yeah.
like we're
yeah.
rescue diver
yeah.
stuff. But they are like the tiniest, like most worthless glow sticks you've ever seen. And when they're doing that, they find an amulet.
An amulet, yes.
Underwater that Mitch...
that apparently belongs to the Ajokan.
Yes. And what did the amulet, what did it have to do with anything?
I think it's what turns humans into Ajukans.
No, because it was an Ajukan without the amulet.
No.
Does it?
That was its amulet until Eddie stole it.
No.
I think the amulet's cursed to whoever holds it turns into an Ajukan.
Well, then Eddie should have turned into an Ajukan. That
well,
would have
he
been
was
cooler.
Bit.
We don't have any concern about that.
We don't know. I don't know what that amulet had to do. Okay, the amulet
was just there. Amphibian rabies.
The amulet was just there so that Ryan Angie Harmon
has something to do.
Can be like, oh, the amulet means it's an Ajokan.
Yeah.
But that's it.
But what's so funny about that, too, is like when When Homeboy at the beginning says, it's in a joke, and Mitch is like, I don't believe in the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. I don't believe in other cultures at all. And then when Ryan says, oh, that's not, he says, it's a moon. And she's like, that's not a moon, it's a sun. He's like, you're right. And then she's like, that means it's in a joke. And he's like, got it. And I'm like, well, he is just, he believes her. He
because
did not...
of the amulet. The amulet is evidence of a joke.
But then at the end of the show,
that's the evidence, the amulet.
When homeboy comes back to me at the very end, he's like, "You saw the joke," and he's like, "I don't know what I saw."
And he actually like hung the thing up on a hook. He hung the joke up on a hook when he tries to kill it, and he's like, "I don't know, maybe."
They're like, "You didn't take a second after you skewered this thing to be like, whoa, that thing's weird."
That's weird. My thing is, capture it, bring it up to the surface. Poke and prod it.
Well, here's the, and you've already said this already. Yeah. But yeah, their plan is to suffocate the thing that can breathe underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you were to burn out all of the oxygen in that,
air pocket goes away.
Doesn't the water rise then?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know the science on that, but I feel like once the oxygen is what's keeping the water down.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
If you burn out the oxygen, does it not?
I
fill
feel
up?
Like it does fill up.
And they even
very confused on the science here, and I don't trust their science.
Because Eddie says, like, what if there's other survivors? And, like, Mitch is like, well sucks
they
to be them.
Alive.
And so they do the thing, the amphibian, but the kids are alive.
But the kids are alive. They're in another room.
Another
full room with this huge-ass air pocket.
You
again,
could
with the
live
hammocks, and they've been eating tuna.
For a month. You could live for a long time in that place.
Yeah.
There could be... Think about that, guys. There could be people underwater right now. For all we know.
Oh, my God. That's horrific.
But, like, you said this, and I agree with you. Mm. He skewers the thing on a fish hook, which I think is, like, supposed to be, like, it's like a fish.
Yeah.
And they don't even take a minute to, like, look at it.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay.
Let's go. However, they do take a lot of time to look around. Because Eddie's like, oh, let's look around. Even though their O2 is very low, they're like, oh, we're looking around a little bit longer. But we're not looking at the weird thing.
I think I would take a second. I would take a moment. I'd take a knee.
I would take a knee. Way more than a moment. I would take that thing to the effing surface.
Because even when like Mitch is being cagey with Homeboy at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what I saw. I'm like, you hung it up on a hook, did you not? Like,
yeah, did you not look at it?
He's like, it could have been a crazed crewman. And I'm like, you could have looked.
I don't think crewmen have scales.
They don't have scales and long, scary fingernails.
And talons.
But, like, I mean, it was dead. So, like, I understand if he, like, hung it and they were like, let's get out of here. Because, like, I don't know if we really killed it. Like,
right.
But, no, they take a long moment
to
look around somewhere.
Around.
And that's when they find the kids.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they yada, yada, yada their rescue.
Oh, my God. It was insane. So here's what happens with the rescue.
It's insane.
Here's what happens with the rescue. So Mitch and Eddie go in. They find these kids just hanging out in a hammock.
And they're like, of course, the kids that she totally told us about.
And they each grab one. And Eddie's like, we don't have enough O2 to get to the surface. And Mitch goes, well, we'll just ride the canvas. And so they pull. That was the exact words.
Yeah, yeah. And so he starts poking
holes. He puts his canvas on the water.
Yeah, yeah. He flattens it out.
And then they pop out the bolts on the ceiling part. Water's rushing in. Next scene.
And there, and then Angie Harmon has a voiceover.
Yeah.
That was like, they had been underwater for 3 weeks, but they got out okay. Next scene. It was like,
and I was like, wait, what happened? How did they get out? How do you ride a canvas?
Because, like, they do make two token attempts to say that they're getting the Coast Guard. Because Ryan calls the Coast Guard and is like, we are 4 miles off of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We're at the ship. We need someone right now. And the Coast Guard's like,
okay,
on it. And so he starts slowly moving his ship out. And then it goes back to the Coast Guard again, but they're getting in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Not on the ship.
No.
It's a different crew.
Yeah.
And it shows two guys jumping on the helicopter, and we see neither of those crews get to the ship. Yeah. So my thing with the ship, the guy on the hook, is now that the Coast Guard is at the ship, you don't even have to rely on Mitch and Eddie to look at the monster.
No.
One of those guys from the Coast Guard could do it.
Yeah.
And they don't, because like, this is what I thought was going to happen. They were going to be like, he skewers it, tell me this is not what would happen in every other movie. And they'd be like, we didn't see anything.
Where the military comes in and picks it up.
Yeah, like, oh, you said it was on the hook? Yeah, it was on the hook. It's like, we didn't see anything when we got in there. And it's like, oh, it got away or whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing. They just, like, leave and nobody questions it.
Yeah, nobody questions it. They're just like, yes, a Jokins.
Mm-hmm. A joke. Well, no, unless you're talking to homeboy. And then it's like, I don't know what I saw.
Oh, my God. This show was pretty effing glorious.
I mean, like, that was the craziest thing. Because, like, we were joking when he starts busting the holes. We're like, Mitch is just giving up. They're all going to just die.
They're just going to drown fast. Get it over quick and painless.
He's like, take a deep breath, kids. We're not making it out of this one alive. It was so wild because it was very much, like we've already kind of alluded to, it was like they want to do a horror show. Mm-hmm. They want to make it scary, but they also have to keep it within the ethics and morality of Baywatch where nobody dies.
Yeah.
Everyone is saved. So, like, these kids are literally thrown in there just so he has someone to save.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough to save Eddie. Mm-mm. He had to also save other people.
Yes.
And, like, and they had to be
kids.
That
suddenly appeared.
Why were those kids on that ship in the first place?
I don't know. Cause wasn't it a cargo ship?
Yeah, I mean, like,
because they're in a lot of cargo holds.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's a cargo ship. I'm like, are these a? I mean, not to be weird, but was it human trafficking? Like, what's going on
here? What's happening?
And this was a huge ship, guys. This isn't like a 20-foot, 30-foot yacht.
This wasn't a schooner.
This was like a full-on
cargo ship. Yeah.
So there, you have to imagine there was a huge crew.
Yeah.
And, like, of that huge crew, apparently only three people survived.
Yeah.
Plus, we lost some divers trying
to save. A mom and her two kids. What the fuck are you doing on a cargo ship?
What were you doing on the cargo ship? Nobody wants to ask the questions.
Nobody asked the questions.
What is happening here?
What's going on?
I'm going to take some reviews there's only two reviews. I'm going to do it just from this episode, since we already did Baywatch Nights as a whole.
Right.
Surprise, surprise, guys. Not highly rated. We got two reviews. They're both one star. So let's see what they have to say.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that's a little harsh.
I agree. Because I've seen way worse things.
Here's what I'll say about it. Mm-hmm. If you've watched Baywatch, you already know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we said, they have full shows with... We didn't get a music montage in this. But I guess they couldn't figure it.
Slow-mo shots of the Ajokin.
Yeah, maybe something with... Maybe, like, they should have had one where they were like, no, they knew where the ship was.
Yeah.
I don't know where you would put it. Ryan maybe was listening to some music while she's looking at the schematics. I don't know.
Her hair behind her ears.
Yeah, I don't... That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you expecting?
Yeah.
It's Baywatch with paranormal crap. I think they nailed it. This is from Raven Glam DVD Collector.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
What?
Okay, the title of the review is Drowning in a Lack of Drama. Raven Glam DVD Collector wrote this review in 2015.
Why were you collecting DVDs in 2015?
I kind of want to look at their other reviews. Anyway. And this is the season opener? The underwater drama? You feel just a whole lot of apathy for the characters.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe the Beast should have gobbled up Mitch Buchanan. He can't do that.
He cannot do that.
He has plot armor. He cannot die.
No.
Again, that's why we needed more characters here. Yep. What it needed to be was Mitch is the leader. Mm-hmm. Eddie's kind of like his right-hand man. Mm-hmm. And we needed like four or five other like rescuers, Coast Guard.
That's not what happens in Baywatch.
I know. They can't die. They have to be under some kind of peril. We have to be under some sort of threat so that like... People start dropping like flies. And then the last two are Mitch and Eddie. Eddie gets captured. Mm. And then Mitch saves everybody.
Yeah.
And then you don't even have to have the kids at the end. Because he's rescued people.
Yeah.
You know? Before he could go on to make a further fool of himself. He did great. He acquitted himself well, Mr. Hasselhoff did. Baywatch is bad enough. Okay.
Excuse me. If Baywatch is bad enough, why are you watching this?
Why are you watching this,
Raven Glam?
Stop acting trying to be woke, bitch. Yeah. You watched Baywatch and you were like, I'm going to watch Baywatch Nights too.
Yeah.
Like,
And why are you starting on season two? Does that mean you actually watched season one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You watch all of season one.
What are you doing here, lady?
What are you doing, Raven DVD collector?
I mean, collecting DVDs, obviously.
You know, this reminds me. And, like, again, this is kind of, I hope that when people listen to our podcast, they get the joy we get out of these shows. You know what I mean? I mean, like, do we like everything? No, we obviously do not. But, like, I feel there is just a cruel streak in people.
Yeah, there really is.
Like, the other day, I was watching an Instagram reel, and it was from some chef, right? Mm-hmm. And he was, like, a side-by-side video, mm-hmm. and he was watching some person cook. And his whole shtick was just making fun of what this person was cooking. Granted, what they were cooking was insane. But I'm like, so that's your whole deal?
He's just making fun of people?
You just find videos, and, like, it wasn't even, like, witty or funny. It was just like, what are you, a fucking idiot? Like, you're putting way too much butter in there. Oh, great. Put more garlic in. Wonderful. But, like, I'm like, this is how you choose to, like, spend your time. I'm watching these shows, honestly, to find joy. Yeah. And sometimes I find joy in the badness, like Baywatch Nights. Yep. I find that entertaining. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's okay. I still feel like I'm walking away with a positive attitude.
Yeah.
I feel like more people need to do that. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you didn't need to pick on this poor woman and her cooking.
No.
You know, like she's not doing anything to you.
Yeah.
You can just move along. Anyway, rant over. Baywatch is bad enough, but there you have sun, surf, and bikinis. Here you have aging Mr. Hasselhoff. Excuse me?
What the fuck? Skip this, reviewer. They don't deserve our time. Next, reviewer.
Aging Hasselhoff. He was like,
wow.
How old? 40 something?
I don't know. He was looking good.
He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks fit.
Yeah.
Like, he's fine.
God, fuck off.
What are you? I want to see you. Let's see your
Don't make me defend Hasselhoff.
DVD collector.
DVD collector.
Like, you know.
Shit.
Ugh. Okay. This is from.
I feel insulted.
This is from Sand Crab. Oh, so if there's anyone who knows beach stuff,
you know it's the Sand Crab.
Click, click. It's hard to type with those claws. Undersea Haunted House. If your spooky friend tells you to go find a bloodthirsty monster from New Guinea on a fresh shipwreck at the bottom of the ocean, I'm thinking, nah, Sand Crab gets it. But I didn't find him to be weird, like creepy or anything.
Well, I mean, it's pretty weird. Some dude comes up to you and is like,
I guess so.
It's a Nujoken.
Yeah, yeah.
You better go diving for Nujoken.
It is weird.
Like, come on, think about it. Your friend comes up to you.
A friend we do not know as of yet. As of yet.
And it's like, hey, there's an underwater Bigfoot that you need to go after out in the ocean.
What's even crazier about when you think about this is like, I know they have the World Wide Web on this show, but this is really nascent internet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, 1996 is not 2024 where everybody's on the internet all the time.
Yeah, there's Wi-Fi.
There's Wi-Fi everywhere.
We were wondering how they were connected, and where it's like, was it satellite?
Yeah.
Because it had to have been a dial-up, right?
But like,
I don't remember how internet worked in the late 90s.
But this dude like just had the joke and stuff off the top of his dome.
I mean,
he knew that.
Well, I guess he's a world traveler, babe.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, he sips champagne on the Champs-Élysées.
He's a cryptozoologist.
He watches sunsets in Tahiti.
Cryptozoologist, babe.
Best job you can have.
In my opinion. Honestly.
I'll skip the corpse of the recently killed diver. And the rat skeleton who's been dead for quite some time. Yes.
That, I had a problem with that because I was like, wait a second.
Sea creatures ate the flesh.
But how were the bones all together?
That's weird.
Are there tendons holding it together? Because there was not.
It was very much
glued together again. Like a science room
skeleton.
Oh,
I was going to bring up Party City again. Like a Party City skeleton. Yeah. Sand Crab, you're speaking my mind. I'll invite the sexy-voiced brunette for a nice game of Frisbee on the beach.
What?
He's talking about Ryan. Respect for Ryan.
Respect for Angie Harmon, you ass.
Okay. I was on your side, Sand Crab.
And then you went weird.
Sassy Pants Buchanan and Grifferoni, however. I guess Griffin. Grifferoni?
Who's Grifferoni?
Is that Eddie? Eddie?
I don't know.
I like how, I will say this about Sand Crab. That was sexist.
Yeah.
Okay. But he did put a registered trademark symbol behind Frisbee.
At least he knows copyright protection.
He's doing his due diligence, making sure the copyright protections are in place. So, what we've all been waiting for. Would you recommend this show?
Yes.
Yes.
All of our listeners should watch season 2 of Baywatch Nights.
You should stop
it's
what
terrible,
you're doing now.
It's terrible, and you will find lots of enjoyment out of it, which makes it a great show.
It makes it a great show. Art is something that inspires conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It inspires thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that's the definition of art, I don't really know what else you can call Baywatch Nights season 2 episode
Except
1.
It's art. It's art.
Terror of the Deep. The next episode
has to do with mermaids trying to get it on,
needing to procreate, and I'm like, oh boy.
I see where this one's going.
Mitch has to get
laid by a mermaid.
Mitch must be swimming in STDs.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, like, he is getting a lot of sex. And like, in Baywatch season 1, I mean, like, that woman was not very trustworthy.
he's just banging anybody.
I think so.
Yeah.
He just bangs anybody.
Yeah, he just bangs anybody.
I mean, I haven't really watched Baywatch. I've watched a little bit because we had the box set at one point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've seen like the first 2 seasons or something like that. Uh-huh, uh-huh. But like, it feels like he gets laid a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of action.
I feel this first reviewer was jealous of Mitch.
You know, probably.
Age,
wow.
I wish we could all age like fine wine, like Mitch Buchanan. So yeah, I 100%, if you enjoy joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you like.
If you just really like laughing and you just want to do something that'll make you laugh.
Yeah.
No thought required.
Like,
this is great.
For 45 minutes, nothing is expected of you as a person on this earth.
Yeah.
You can just go to this place where things don't make sense.
No. Nope.
But also, you're not required to make sense of those things.
Exactly. You just go with it.
There's no responsibility on your part. There's no stress on your part. You're just there to watch these people do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
And I think if season 1 of Baywatch Nights had been this, I think it would have gone on for 10 seasons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I honestly do think that's what hurt this. Because the quality is just better. I mean, it's not good, don't get me wrong. But, like, I think going from, like, the private investigator to the paranormal without really prepping that is not good.
No, it was very confusing.
Like, it should have been called, like, Dark Baywatch or but it always happens during the day. But I was.
That's the best part of the show.
It's the best part of the
show.
That
is called Baywatch Nights.
You might get a sunburn.
It always happens during the day.
It's the funniest f***ing thing. It's the funniest joke that will ever happen on the show.
Oh, man.
Is that the first shot is always in broad daylight.
The whole show is always broad daylight.
Like.
Except for the opening credits.
Yeah.
In which he's in a smoky, misty room.
Yeah. What's that about?
I don't know.
It was very Unsolved Mysteries. It was very Robert Stack about to introduce you to some scary like that the whole opening. But like, it never happens at night. It's crazy. It never happens at night. I love it.
That
it went 20 episodes and we're like, shouldn't we have some of these at night? And they're like, no.
No. It's called Baywatch Days.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Quick side note. It's called Baywatch Nights.
Do you think Nights, the nightclub, is still existing? Because, like,
no.
It can't, right?
It can't exist.
It can't exist. Like,
it's called Days now.
Just so little respect for the first season. But I like the fact that it gave it a shot. Yeah. You know what? More people should try
doing stuff like this. I kind of want to watch more.
We can watch more.
I kind of want to watch more. Like, if there's, like, nothing else. I mean, I got my Skinwalker Ranch coming up. So.
I know. We got actual stuff that we need. We have Reacher season 2, and we have Fallout we need to watch before
we gotta finish Fallout.
Or for our Amazon free subscription.
I gave both of us a spoiler for it, not even realizing I was giving a spoiler.
Well, it was, oh, maybe you shouldn't tell me on.
Her dad is a vault overseer.
Oh, right.
Like, and when she said, oh, but you're an overseer or whatever, I was like, wait a second, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then, oh,
Yeah.
Spoiler.
And I was like, what?
Because I go, hey, overseers are bad guys. They know what's going on in these vaults.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty obvious he was into...
Yeah, it was pretty obvious, but that's also kind of like, if you know...
If you know the game...
The game, then it's like, well, you're just giving tons of stuff away.
Yeah, because I feel like it's one of those things that if you are watching the show, you're probably a fan of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have some people like, oh, it's a new show, mm-hmm. whatever, whatever. If you're a fan of the game, like yeah. you just like, let's say 75% of their audience are fans of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for 75% of the audience, you've just given away a big secret.
Yeah.
Secret or yeah. whatever, you know. So, but yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy that pretty good. She looks like a video game character, I agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to watch Reacher Season 2. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's having a moment right now, which is really funny, because he's very anti-Trump, which is really funny.
I'm now in love with him.
I know. It's so funny, because, like so many people are like, what? You've betrayed us. It's like, no, you guys are lame. Anyway, next week, I'm sure, I don't know what we're going to watch. Mm-hmm. It's like life is weird right now, but we'll figure something out. I'm sure we will have stuff to talk about Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll have probably more to talk about Fallout. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure the series finale of Bad Batch is coming up
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have something to say about that. So we'll see you next week. Not sure what we're going to watch. Watch Baywatch Nights. Skip season one.
Skip season one. Go straight to season two. It's nuts.
It's nuts and it's fun and
yeah.
there's... Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it. Anyway, we'll see you next week for whatever we do. Love you.
Love you, bye.